is the Talent Talk podcast, the official podcast of Morehead State University Athletics. We welcome you to this week's episode. A reminder, you can access this podcast on msueagles.com, the official website of Eagle Athletics, and a variety of other avenues, including Spotify, SoundCloud, and Stitcher. You can also access archived episodes on msueagles.com/podcast. This is episode number 7. On today's show, host Matt Schabert is joined by men's basketball alum DeJuan Rico Marrero. DeJuan started his collegiate career at DePaul before going to Chipola Junior College. He came to Morehead State and finished his career with a two-year stint from 2015 until 2017. He was second-team All-Ohio Valley Conference as a senior and helped lead the Eagles to the finals of the College Basketball Invitational. DeJuan played professional basketball after Morehead State and hosts a show of his own, the DeJuan Marrero Podcast. Thanks for listening. Here's our show.
Welcome into edition number 7 of Talent Talk, the official Morehead State podcast, athletics podcast. And I'm really thrilled and honored today to be joined by Morehead State men's basketball alum, DeJuan Marrero. And DeJuan, I appreciate you joining me in these tough times, but a lot of good things going on too. So I appreciate you joining us on our podcast.
Matt, thank you. I was elated when you reached out via Facebook. I couldn't wait to talk about Morehead and the history of Morehead and my experience when I was at Morehead. Thank you.
Well, let's first go back and just kind of not maybe all the way to the beginning, but what got you interested in basketball and your love for basketball and how you got into the sport? And tell me a little bit about that.
My community here in Gary, Indiana. It's mainly is either your athlete or your entertainer, and it's a very urban area here, Gary, Indiana, next to Chicago. So a lot of people know from the rich history of Gary because of the steel mill. Michael Jackson is originally from here. Glenn Robinson, who went to Purdue, All-American, I believe he's number one draft pick. So, I mean, the list goes on with the rich history, but I was one of the tallest players elementary. I believe I was like 5'8", 5'9", and my mom pushed me to play basketball, and there was a mentor of mine named Coach James Welch who saw the potential in me and developed me in elementary. Then there was another mentor named Marvin Ray who helped develop me, get ready for the next level for middle school and varsity all 4 years, and then here we are, you know. So I had really good mentors around me, and my city pushed me to play basketball.
In high school, I know you were fortunate to win a state championship or be in the state championship in Indiana. Yeah. Obviously, I think, you know, maybe Kentucky and Indiana, obviously, they're
rivals.
Talent all over, but those are kind of the traditional, you know, you win the championship there and you've done something. So tell me about that experience and in high school and being able to say that you were on that team.
God rest his soul, Marvin Ray, legendary / Hall of Fame coach. He allowed me to have the freedom to play my game, to average a double-double, and to play on a well-known, it's called Indy Heat Gym Rats. Their AAU program helped me on a national platform, and that guy and playing for my AAU program just put me in a position to be successful. And I had really great teammates when we went downstate in 2010. Those guys were much older. I was a sophomore. They were seniors, and we won state by like over 20. That was my first time going downstate, experiencing that. And then in 2012, we went downstate again and lost to Park Tudor, who had Trayvon Blewett, who's a pro now, and Yogi Ferrell. And he had a really great supporting cast on his team, and they beat us by a large margin. And after that, I was fortunate to play an Indiana All-Star as well. So the rich tradition in Indiana just helped me groom who I am today with the basketball, and knowing that if you play for an Indiana All-Star team and you win a state championship, you're in a small 1%ers of Indiana.
Well, let's talk a little bit about kind of how you landed here at Morehead State. I know you started your career at DePaul and then also at Chipola Junior College, which is very powerful and successful junior college, I believe, former Morehead State coach Donnie Tindall is now the head coach down at Chipola.
Just
got hired there, so some connections there. But tell me about your time there, and then as you were getting recruited and what you were thinking of Morehead State.
Well, DePaul, like, take you back to DePaul, Oliver Purnell, him and I, he gave me an opportunity my freshman year. I just thought that the Big East was a great fit for me. And in reality, it wasn't. I tell kids now, go where you loved. Don't go for the school, because, I mean, if you go for the school, you're just somebody else that's right behind you. Go where who's knocking on your door, who's calling you, who's going to have your best interest outside the game of basketball. So long story short, I tore my ACL freshman year. That's when the business started to kick in. And I'm like, okay, how long is it going to take me to get back? Coach is upset because he had his already plans planned out for me on how I was going to fit the rotation and where he saw me play. So 10 months go past. I come back healthy. I tore it October 24th of 2012. And then it was August 10th of 2013. I came back healthy, 10 months. And I noticed that he brought another brother in my position that came from University of Illinois Champaign in the Big Ten. And I'm like, wow, he plays my position. I don't think I'm going to get any minutes here. So after a season goes past, my minutes were limited. And I'm like, okay, I know that I'm this player from Indiana, have all these accolades. Coach, what can I do to, you know, play, get more than 8 minutes on the floor? And one of the questions I asked him was, you know, if this was your son, he has a potential to be a pro, where do you see his future here at DePaul? He's like, I'll look elsewhere. That's what he told me. And I had to
– yeah, he's right, like, then you knew maybe it's not for me.
Yeah. So, like, I had to have these meetings with him. And that's why I tell the young guys, like, make sure you're in communication with your coaches to know where they stand. Because at the end of the day, it's a business. You know what I mean? We're in the business of winning. And at that time, you know, DePaul wasn't winning. So I have nothing to lose by asking, like, how can I gain more minutes? And I'm from Indiana. Like, we breed basketball. So he just told me directly, like, hey, like, I have to play so-and-so in front of you. No matter how hard, you know, I do things, like, I'm only going to have 8 minutes. It's just how the rotation is and the players that's in front of me. So I had to respect it. Marvin Ray, my camp at the time, and Indy Heat Gym Rats, Chipola, you got to rebrand yourself, Rico, because, I mean, you just wasted 2 years there, tore your ACL. I mean, I met really good friends outside the game of basketball there that I still carry to this day. But at the end of the day, basketball was a priority. And I didn't want to go to Chipola. That was in Florida, Marianna, Florida. And once I got out of my comfort zone, because that was my first time actually leaving the house, because Gary and DePaul is 30 to 45 minutes away. So I could take the train back. I'm in the city. It's nice. But Chipola was in Marianna, Florida, next to Tallahassee, for those who may not know where Marianna, Florida is. And met some really great people. I built a resume over there, had a solid foundation. I believe I was first team all conference, averaged a double-double, had a really successful season. And I looked at that as a season. I was there for 7 months, and then I could go back to Division I. But it taught me how to buy in, walk with humility, and appreciate what I had at DePaul, because anybody who's been through JUCO knows the Big East and JUCOs are totally two different levels. Your living situation is totally different, the people you're around. And so I had to, like, put things in perspective, like, I'm here for a reason. And I've met the most phenomenal people ever, because now the assistant coach over at Eastern Kentucky, his name is Patrick Blake. He was my head coach. And him and I used to get into it all the time. But I know now as I'm older, the purpose of going to Chipola. Now I have all these experience, and we'll talk about that later, why that ties into my podcast. And long story short, Sean Woods called me, who was the head coach at the time at Morehead. And he was like, man, I'm from your area. I'm from your community. I know your family. I know the potential that you have. And you need to be in a place like Morehead, Kentucky. And from there, I was like, let me call you back. So I called my mom.
Yeah.
I was like, hey, you know this person named Coach Sean Wood. Like, Sean and I go way back. He knows your family. And I was like, pause the video game. Like, Coach Woods, I'm committing. But prior to me committing, Preston Spradlin, who's the head coach now, did a hell of a job recruiting me. He would call me every day. And that's when I knew that you have to go to where you're loved. And Preston called me nonstop, checking on me, my well-being on and off the court, my grades. And he told me, like, straight up, like, hey, Rico, you need to get these grades so you can come to Morehead State. And then when Sean Woods gave me that energy, like, hey, man, we need you here. I'm like, man, you got Preston Spradlin and you have Sean Woods, who's the head coach. What more can I ask for? And I came to Morehead State, and Sean Woods gave me that opportunity to prove that I am this player that I've been all along. Gave me that exposure, because when I did come my junior, I think we won 26 games. We played against University of Nevada. And who would have thought, like, Nevada come to, like, Morehead, you know, and we gave them a battle for their money. And so I grew there at Morehead my junior year and senior year. Preston became the head coach there, and he helped me develop my game to the pro level. So I was like, wow, I'm more successful in a small town, Marianna, Florida, Morehead, Kentucky. What are the odds with that? If I'm successful in a small town, Chipola, I could be there at the next level at Morehead. And if it wasn't for Preston and Coach Wood and Dylan Howard and Tillman at the time, I don't think I'd be the player that I am today or the human being off the court. And I give a lot of credit to, like, Woods and Preston for putting their energy in me.
Talk a little bit about your game and when you were at Morehead State, and, well, even before then too. And you talk about a lot of double doubles, and obviously, you know, you got to put in a lot of effort to get that, and rebounding. A lot of people, you know, underestimate the value of rebounding. Some don't, but and when you're, even when you, I mean, you're a big guy, but their guy is probably 6'10", 6'11", you're going,
sure.
And you got to kind of tailor your game around that. But so talk about rebounding and just the importance of that. Cause you have been a really good rebounder, I know, and at Morehead State.
Thank you. Effort. I think life is about consistency, effort, right place at the right time. And that's how I look at the basketball, right place at the right time, knowing when the rebound is going to come left or right. And I know that every time I step on the floor, like, you won't outwork me. Like, I know I was at the Big East. I went to Chipola. I'm not a JUCO player. I went there to rebrand myself, get my grades together. And so I know that if I rebound, I can always stay on the floor. And I could show you, like, if I work hard, if I play 10 to 15 minutes, that's a guaranteed 15 and 10 from me. Six of my points may come off just putbacks or and one. And so I was blessed with that perk that guy gave me, and I utilized that, and that's even helped me on a pro level. So I was fortunate. Like I said, Kenneth Faried was at Morehead State, and they talked about the energy he had. He was an animal, like, running up and down the floor. And what Woods instilled and Preston instilled in me was playing hard, but play with pace. And that was something that I value to this day, is, like, when you wake up, you can't just go out the door and just go about your day. You have to have a plan. Like, when you leave the house, like, what's your plan for the day, or what's your schedule like? I used to, like, just get up and just go about my day. I used to, like, work out and then just play, because I was just naturally gifted. But then as you continue to play the game, what's your plan for today's game? What is your strategy? And that's what Wood and Preston instilled. And I'm forever grateful, because I carry those characteristics, like, to this day.
Let's talk a little bit about that run in the CBI, your senior year. And that, you know, and I was around then and got to see the home games that we had, but the notoriety that kind of brought to the program, and you guys were just almost relentless that year. It was like you have the NCAA and then the NIT, but the CBI, I mean, there was still some notoriety. You got all the way to the finals, and I believe at the time, I think it was us, Nevada, and maybe the final four teams that were left in the entire country playing basketball at the time. So talk about how fun that was, and your teammates, and getting all the way to the finals of the CBI.
Well, Well, Woods made sure we apply pressure. You know, he felt like we could beat anybody. And when you have a coach like Woods and then you have the supporting cast that he hired to help him, I mean, we believe we could run through a wall, you know, with that staff that we had. And Preston and I will work out every day before the game to make sure that I was on point. We will watch film so I can get over that hump. And I'll never forget, like, we thought our season was over because we felt like we got upset it in the OVC, and we knew we was better. But they was like, hey, Coach Woods was like, man, I got a surprise for you guys. We're going to play again. At first, we had a long season. We're not trying to play again if it's not the NCAA tournament. And to have those expectations, like to win an OVC, and you knew our standards were high. Mm-hmm. So to participate in the CBI, I was forever grateful. I think we played Ohio U, went to Duquesne. Duquesne came to us. We went over to the East Coast.
Siena.
In Albany, New York. And we win, you know, we're winning. And then all of a sudden we're in the finals. Everyone's happy. University of Nevada is coming to Moorhead, and they have Cam Oliver and these NBA they're pros at the highest level.
At the time, I think if I remember right, a lot of those guys were freshmen, and you know they were a very good team. But man, I believe the next year or even the year after, all of a sudden you look and Nevada's like in the top 10, and you guys played them and beat them. So yeah,
right. That shows you how relentless we were, and everybody bought in. I mean, coming in my junior year, I backed up Lionel Gaines from Louisville. At the end, we're competitors, you know. And at that time, he came and brought a lot of energy. My junior year, because he was coming off the bench now. And, you know, as competitors, we got to buy in. Everybody wants to play a lot of minutes, but what does the team need at this moment, at this time? So once we all bought into that, everyone brought in energy. I remember Lamontre Harris having a phenomenal, like, postseason. Though he was young, he bought in. Malik Maitland, who was from Florida, had a spectacular day against University of Nevada coming off the bench. But I'll never forget that run. It was like a NCAA tournament. I wouldn't say it was a Cinderella because we knew the standards that we had, you know. But our mission was to shock people because I know people underestimated Morehead State. You know, we're in the Eastern Kentucky. So to go to Nevada and get an applause after we lose, that should speak volume. So it was big. I think that how relentless we were, the opportunities we were given to play on a national platform where I believe NCAA started like the next week and the only teams were playing was us. So that was a moment that I'll forever cherish. And that's why I have this hoodie on, because we had these hoodies around that year in 2015, 2016 season. Yep.
Let's talk about the opportunity you got after Morehead State, and tell me a little bit about your professional career and how things have been going. And obviously this year has been a little different for everybody, but just tell me about what the opportunities you've been given on a professional level.
After Morehead State and the accolades came out, I believe I was second team all OVC. Xavier Moon had a phenomenal few years when I was there. You know, Moon and I played against each other in JUCO. A lot of people don't know that. Like he was, I think it was Northwest Florida, and I was at Chipola. So I saw Moon prior to coming to Morehead State. So he was first team. I was second team. And then all of a sudden I got a phone call saying that Puerto Rico drafted me number two in their draft. And in order to be eligible in that draft, you have to be a native. So I'm Puerto Rican and black. I'm a native there. My family's from there. So number two, all I'm thinking is money, you know. I left Morehead right after the OVC because the season was getting ready to start, and I was having online classes. I had all my credits just because I went to Chipola and all the credits that I took my junior year. So I was ahead of schedule. I was going to graduate. And once I got that opportunity to be drafted, that's like an NBA draft to me. At the end of the day, you're still getting a check, you're getting paid. And I went, I played with Carlos Arroyo, who played in the NBA for several years. I played with a lot of talented players that played in Euro Cup for like Tel Aviv, Maccabi. They were on my team. So I was the youngest player. And one of the players that stood out to me, his name was Damian James, played at Texas with Kevin Durant. And those guys taught me how to be a pro playing with OJ Mayo. And I'm like, I'm really here for Morehead State. This is like incredible. I'm very blessed. But at that time, I had left so soon that my game didn't translate yet because I was still stuck in a system because of Morehead. You know what I mean? For any basketball players that knows that, like, depending on how your system is, you can't just transition to the next level if you haven't been playing like that all year. Because at the next level in pros is really up and down with veterans. In Morehead, we had a system. Everybody buys in. So I had left so soon, but I got so much knowledge and experience my first year because Puerto Rico League is good for the spring. It was always March through July. And once I finished my first year there, I had the opportunity to go to Switzerland. My first official gig in Europe. And I spent 8 months in Switzerland, got to visit Paris. I was player of the year there in Switzerland. Your roles change. Like Puerto Rico, you're a native as a role player. And you bring in two Americans called, you know, imports. Their job is to carry the load. My job in Puerto Rico is to be a role player, guard the best man, defend. In Europe, things change there because now I'm an import in Europe. And so my job is to carry the load, which I was used to. I was like, this is no big deal for me. So I spent 8 months in Switzerland, got player of the year, import of the year, had the opportunity to go to Paris. So soaking up all this knowledge. And then I went back to Puerto Rico. So it was like the same cycle. And to fast forward you up to COVID, like prior to COVID, I was in North Macedonia. I was leading the league in rebounding. They offered me an extension to stay the rest of the season because I came in mid-season. I enjoy going mid-season rather than doing a 10-month span in Europe due to the fact the eras change, if that makes sense. Like 10 months away from your family, like social media is a big part, so it's easy to miss home, but you also miss your relationships. And I'm big on being more than an athlete. Like you spent 10, 11 months in Europe and only home for a month. Once you're done playing in Europe, the money's great in Europe, don't get me wrong, but that can only last you for so long unless you're making over a million. Your relationship starts to fade away. And I've always been a guy that has so much going off the floor that I like to go mid-season and produce, show you what I could do in seven games. And that's when the team in North Macedonia, which was in Kozu next to Greece, offered me an extension to stay the rest of the season. But I knew that I was going back to Puerto Rico. And then COVID happened, canceled everything.
Yeah, it's been tough. I know everybody just kind of all of a sudden abruptly stopped and had to kind of regroup, I guess. But well, talking about not regrouping, but on another kind of subject and off the court, I know that you've been very successful in having a media company and a podcast of your own. So let's talk.
Thank you.
About your other avenue and what kind of got that idea going and how that's been successful for you. And I know that you've done a lot with your community in Gary and that's very important to you. And so yes, how do you go about your podcast and your media company and making that a successful venture?
My COVID hit last year in Puerto Rico. It was like, I don't know, third year in. And, in Puerto Rico, as a native, they could trade you. Mm-hmm. And they traded me to a club that drafted me in my first year. And that owner called me and was like, hey, well, they traded me for a veteran who was mid-30s. Puerto Rico is a league where you play 36 games in 3 months. Mm-hmm. On the business end, that's not logical because I'm 26 at the time. You trade me for a 35-year-old. That was like more inside than like playing. It didn't matter. Like, I'm not from Puerto Rico originally. That guy was. And so when I found out on Instagram when I was having lunch, like the coach asked me like, what time do I want to have practice? And then a few hours later, I found on Instagram, I get traded to this club that drafted me. And the catch though was I didn't have a problem with that. It was the fact that the owner tells me I don't have any money for you. So I'm like, basically I got burned. So I was like, send me back home. So I come back home. Like, I can't feel sorry for myself. I never like having another person's having control of my future, whether that's an agent or a coach. That's just me. And when that happened, it's like, I need a podcast. I always listen to podcasts. I'm a huge fan. I know the network that I have. So you're not going to burn me as if I don't have like a network or I don't have anything to go back to. So I had a podcast. I was like, I'm going to interview, share my experience and talk to a lot of influential people in my community first. Therefore, I could start getting comfortable talking on record and just be myself, be organic. The community and the people you're around, they know you. So they know if you talk to Duane Marrero or Rico Marrero, you know the conversation you're going to have with me. So I just put the first 25 on in 2019. I started the last day on February. And I think it's 28 days, February 28th. That was the first day I had my basketball trainer come on. And we spoke for 40 minutes. I didn't know what direction to go. I just knew that I enjoy conversation. And I know that my community has a lot of influential people. And I build a resume to put a spotlight on someone else and they get the recognition. And from there, it took off. So that was my COVID prior in February. Like that happened. And that was on top of taking a pay cut before I got traded. And because Puerto Rico had just had another catastrophe with the hurricane. And so I'm taking a pay cut, got traded to a team that couldn't pay me at all. I get burned. So I'm like, I'm gonna start investing my own money in myself. And from there, interview my trainer who trained me, helped me still to this day, spoke for 40 minutes. And then I'm like, I'm gonna do a pod every week. And then second year comes and, you know, I see people now doing a pod because of a global pandemic hit, but I'm like, I'm gonna just pod every day. And then from that gave me the platform to continue to keep like relationships. Cause remember I told you, if you stay 10 months, your relationships fade away. If you have a podcast, that's like that's like your own internship. I have 100 now different contacts in regards of the relationships that I've built on record. And so from there, Indy Heat Gym Rats during the pandemic asked me to be the host of their podcast called See You on the Court Pod, where I interview influential coaches around Indiana, a lot of high profile players. So now I'm on the other side interviewing the players. And now I'm getting a different perspective. Like, was I this cocky or was my ego yeah. like this? Cause I'm talking to the kids and they're responding to me. Like, I don't remember responding like this, but the nature of the business, let me interview you. Cause coaches can't come out. They want to hear how you approach different questions. And I was very fortunate to have that opportunity, Matt. And from there, when Gym Rats came out, their headquarters in Fort Wayne, I went out to an event just to be more hands-on because it's tough for me. It was tough for me to like do a job for you and I'm not physically hands-on because I like to know the why. Like this episode, I know the why behind it, so I'm much more passionate. It's tough for me to talk to somebody who I don't know nothing about and I don't know why you want a podcast. And so I've been going to Fort Wayne back and forth because that's where I used to train as well. And then I'll see the kids like Ball Is Life and Slam, those platforms film under the rims. Saw a lot of money in that. And I was like, wow, like this kid doesn't play basketball anymore. He knows he's not going to play, but he's filming. He's filming his favorite player and indirectly making money off another kid's talent as a film recorder, videographer. So I always loved photography. And I was like, I know my community needs a media outlet because we're overshadowed by Fort Wayne, which is their own city, Indianapolis, and then you have Chicago right here. If I use my podcast as a gateway to put on someone else, let me invest myself, get good at photography because I always had an eye for it. And then I invested in a Sony Alpha camera, entry level, mastered it. Then I started video recording the guys at Indy Heat, and then I became their digital creator outside of the host of their podcast. And then coaches can't come out, so now their parents will, you know, hit me up in regards of like, hey, like, you know, are you going to film so-and-so? I was like, yeah. And then, you know, we'll talk on the business end with numbers, but then also photography. I just love photography more than I do video. Now from shooting photos in the game using Adobe Lightroom and all that, now I'm in media/tech, which that's an ongoing job. So I would never have to deal with an owner telling me, like, I can't pay you, because that just didn't sit right with me. And then now turning sports photography into family photos, senior photos, and now I just booked my first wedding in March. It's an ongoing marathon. And then from that, during the pandemic, this past fall, Dave Maravella, who's the director of Bosco Prep, which is a post-grad school here in Crown Point, Indiana, offered me to digital create for them part-time, but he wants me to be a full-time assistant coach. And I took that opportunity to help post-grad kids to get ready for the next level using my network. And because I've been through, we talked about DePaul, JUCO, I've been to all three levels, high and the lowest. So you can't, like, a kid can't tell me what I haven't heard.
Right.
You know, and the experience of being at Morehead, like, I think I was top 25 in double doubles my senior year. Like, I think I was number three in OVC double doubles. So I've been there. You know, I got drafted. I'm still an active player, but the universe forced me to be creative and innovative and not let someone else dictate my life because of a bad business deal. And that's all it ties back to, is being more than an athlete. So that's where I'm at today. And Duane Morrell Media took off in regards of helping Indy Heat Gym Rats, and they're my business partner. That's where we are today.
That's really interesting. I mean, and you, like you said, you can help kids, even if it's on a, because now everything is so digital and everybody's on social media, and even you're almost promoting yourself. But, you know, it seems like not, you know, 20 years ago, kids, you know, they weren't getting interviewed, but now there's so many avenues to be interviewed and to promote yourself and to be good on media that you can help kids, even if it's not on video, on a podcast, they know how to present themselves, and you're teaching them how to present themselves on a digital avenue and on a social platform. I think that's important too.
I agree, Matt. And I'm going to say this as well, like, to do photography media is like, everybody needs a media guy. Now everybody needs to know how to work the internet. So my mission statement is like, hey, man, like, let me make your job easier. You know what I mean? Let me shadow you. Like, when I went down to Purdue, my best friend's Rafael Davis, who played at La La Mer, and he was Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year, Matt. And he was like, man, I got to get interviewed at, you know, Lafayette, Purdue. I was like, well, you know, that's 45 minutes, Ray. Let me shadow you. I'll just take photos of you. Like, they don't have to know who I am. However, their staff do know me because it's in Indiana and they recruited me heavy. I just didn't select them, but they know of me, and it's nice to know now on the opposite end. Like, as a player, you don't really know who's recruiting you. You don't know, like, if they know you. You just know, oh, that school is on you. But now on the opposite end, I'm like, wow, you guys were recruiting me. How you doing? And all that stuff. And that's how I use the media. It's like, let me shadow you. Let me help you. I'll just take your photos, put in a video, and brand you. Because we need that now. And so as digital creating, that's always your foot in the door.
We get stuff all the time here on our social media at Morehead State. A lot of it is maybe not directed towards the media department, but coaching and everything. Every day there's someone sending videos or photos, you know, trying to get recruited. And it's such a reach out now that you have to, it seems like you have to do that, or else you're going to almost be behind on your recruiting when you're trying to get recruited. Even if you're, you know, not that good right now, you've got to build yourself up, I guess. And that's a good avenue to have someone like you be able to say, look, you don't have to worry about, you worry about playing. I'll worry about making you look good and getting your stuff to who you want it to get to.
Right. And that's using my network. Like, I mean, like having the podcast, and I guess they call me Coach Rico, which I tell them to shy away because I don't like when they call me Coach Rico, but it's just the nature of the beast. Like, they like calling me Coach Rico. But, like, man, all the coaches I came across, I just send them film before I, you know, post it on social media. I have to use my resources because I don't want to feel like I'm doing this kid a disservice. But I'm fortunate to know, like, if that kid that works for Ballless Life tries to film their favorite player and they don't have access, your favorite player is my best friend. because we play together. And so I have that access where I leverage that access, be like, hey, like, I'm gonna just take photos of you. I'm not working out today. I'll just have to do my workout in the morning, because during the day is mainly business. And so, because I know that most athletes like to be in front of the camera, I had to shy back and be like, I will film you then. You know what I mean? I'll put you out there so you don't have to hire this guy. You could just pay me and I'm not going to charge you an arm and a leg. And that's how basically I do the business now, is like being a humble servant. And my mission statement I'll stick by is like, let me make your life easier. And I will do the things that you don't want to do because you have to handle X, Y, and Z. Mm-hmm. So I like the business end on the coaching more so, but coaching comes to me naturally, which I'm thankful for that gift. But I like to be in the meetings and, you know, talk about what we need to do to get over the hump.
Great stuff there, DeJuan. And we'll go ahead and wrap it up. But I really appreciate you joining me and telling them about a very interesting career and life that you've got. And we were so glad that you were an Eagle. And I guess we say once an Eagle, always an Eagle.
Always.
So I appreciate it. And anytime we may look for you to maybe take some pictures for us one of these days.
I hope so. I'm praying on it. I hope so. Once this pandemic's over, and because I know like crowds are limited, you know, Matt, and we got to abide by the rules. Like I said, Illinois just postponed their season. I wouldn't say forfeited, but postponed. So we'll just see and got to adapt.
That's right. Well, once again, I appreciate it. It's DeJuan Marrero, former Morehead State men's basketball player, doing great things in his life and his professional career, now a media company and a podcast. Check it out, the DeJuan Marrero podcast. I guess you're on all avenues pretty much.
Yeah, all streaming platforms. Yeah, almost at episode 100, Matt. Yeah, all 95. Right.
Wow, well, I got a long way to go. This is episode number 7 for us. So
there you go.
We'll have to catch
up somewhere.
Yep, we do. So once again, I appreciate it very much. Thank you so much. And that'll wrap it up. So join us again next time here on the Talon Talk podcast. I'm Matt Schabert signing off.
This episode of Talon Talk is presented by the Morehead State Legacy Club. The Legacy Club is a part of the Eagle Athletic Family Fund and provides former Morehead State University student athletes the opportunity to maintain a lifelong connection with MSU athletics. This is an exclusive group of former MSU student athletes who understand the commitment and spirit to be an Eagle. If you are an MSU student athlete, make sure to join your former teammates in supporting the growth and success of MSU athletics. Visit MSUEagles.com today.